Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 1. While you're turning, let me say this. I want to say publicly, I want to thank God for my wife. 29 years ago today, we got married. Can you believe she's put up with me for 29 years? And shut up. 29 years ago, about right now, a little bit, well, when we started the service, I got my last speeding ticket, too. What was that? No, I was headed to the church, not away from it. My brother reminded me of that this morning, and he's got it on. At that time, it was camcorder tape. I don't know, VHS tape or 4mm or whatever it was at that point in time, but that was a long time ago. But thank God for her. What an incredible lady she is. All right, Psalm 1. We're going to read the entire psalm, so you'll get your chapter in for the day. Psalm 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and we'll read this passage responsively. Then I'll pray, and we'll have a special, and then I'll come back and preach. Psalm 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's pray. Father, I need you today. I'd like to encourage our people. The summer is upon us, the heat, the humidity, vacations and people in, people out, changes of schedule. Oh, Lord, things are kind of a strange season, so to speak, for everyone. I pray that you'd use today as a special way to help these, your people. Bless us today. Help me to say that which you once said, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 1 we've used from time to time, but today I want to help you with a truth that will bless you. But let me lay a foundation. If you'll listen, I think I can help. We live in a world driven by greed. Greed, for many, is money, power, influence, fame. There is greed for more than just any one thing in our society today. Unfortunately, this greed has even crept into churches. You have churches that want to build the fanciest of buildings. They got to have the biggest crowds. They're in a competition to see who can do the most or have the most programs. And I hate to disappoint you, the best follow-up program in all the world is the Sunday school of the local New Testament Amen. Baptist Church. Amen. You don't need lots of programs, and you won't find one social event in the Bible for a church. Well, the church isn't meeting my needs socially. Well, show up and go get somebody, bring them to church and socialize with them, amen? You won't find ball games and volleyball games and bingo and everything else in the Bible. That's man-made, not God-made. Just thought I'd throw that in there. That wasn't even in my notes. Now, we have this mentality that bigger offerings, bigger crowds, bigger buildings, nicer buildings is prosperity. That is not true. We humans need to realize that the God that created life and created this world knows better how to live life than sinful man. Do you realize that the God that created everything, if we would just listen to him, we could have a better life? Look where life ends up for people that listens to man. HIV, drunkenness, laying in a gutter in your own vomit. Have your head, you're so far out of your head psychologically because you've done too many drugs. You know, people have burned out brains. That's how people that live life listening to man end up. God gave us a book called the King James Bible. It's there to show us how to live. And if we would just not know that book, but live that book, guess what? Life would be a whole lot easier. Life would be a whole lot better. I've seen tens and tens and tens and tens and probably hundreds of thousands of people saved by this old black book. Guess what? It's clear. Brother Stoltz, I haven't seen anybody take an NIV or RSV or an HIV and win somebody to Christ and pull them out of drunkenness and drugs. Not one time. Not once. Brother Mike, I never saw somebody read some pussyfooting sermon it for a devotional it, and it changed somebody's life to where they came out of sinfulness. Not once. I'll promise you one thing. Man of God gets up and preaches the old black book the way he should. I've seen it change thousands of lives. We want too many cute programs. The Christian life is a race. But listen to this statement. If you miss everything, get this statement. The Christian life is a race, but it is not a sprint. It is not a competition. We are so competitive in our world today, we think to run this race, we must come in first place. The race of life is a marathon. And may I say this, we won't know who ends up in first place, and I don't know that anywhere in the Bible where God says it matters. That's right. I started my race before many people. My race may end before somebody else's, but some of you are older than me and started your race after me. We all enter the race at different spots. The goal of the Christian life is not to come in first place. It is to finish. The race to the Christian is to finish the right way. Now, listen to me very carefully here. There's no way to calculate who will end up first. There's been 6,000 years of life lived already. It wouldn't be just for Adam to say, I came in first. It wouldn't be fair for Abel. He was the first human to die. Did he live his life? Did he win the race? I don't know, but I know that our job is to finish the race. Now listen to me very carefully here. The key to the Christian life is to keep on going towards the finish line. It is to keep on moving towards the finish line. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't walk or run or crawl, wheel your wheelchair across the finish line, but keep on going. As long as you got breath, keep on going. Amen. Just keep moving the right direction. Now listen to this. The word prosper here in Psalm 1, verse number 3, does not mean increase. It is not the word that means gaining more and more. Now, listen very close to this. It does. The word prosper in Psalm 1:3, it's all right, brother, you're fine. In Psalm 1:3, the word prosper means continue on. It literally means to be able to keep on going, Brother Mike. God says that in this race, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in a season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall continue on. Oops, I hope that wasn't breakable. I just stepped on the edge of it. Now listen to me. God says prosperity is the ability to continue on, not to gather things. You're not prosperous because you got a lot of toys. You're not prosperous because you got two cars and two trucks and two boats and four kids. And amen, Brother Joe, you can have four kids. Three was enough for me. Three strikes, you're out. But it does not matter how many things you get. Things do not make prosperity. Continuing on is what prosperity is. It literally is the word that means to keep moving forward. Now listen to me. We have perverted the meaning of the word prosperous. Our society is good at redefining words. We now judge God based on how words are used today. Did you know, just in the last, and you'll laugh at this, but in the last 50 years ago, the word gay meant happy.
That's right.
My dad's generation, if somebody said you're gay, that meant you're happy. Now if you say that, that's not a good word. We have perverted the meaning of the word gay. And by the way, I think it's wrong. Those aren't happy people. Did you ever look at their faces?
I don't want to.
Amen. It used to mean, the word blast used to mean an explosion. Right. Now it means you're having fun. We have changed the meaning of words, and then we want to take that word and judge God based on how we use that word today. The word prosper doesn't mean gaining goods and gaining money and gaining things. The word prosper means to continue on or to keep on moving. We should not let great Bible truths be perverted by our society today. Let me say that again. We shouldn't let great Bible truths be perverted by how we use words in our society today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Just because we have redefined the word, God didn't change it. Now, the devil's only plan is to stop you in your race, to keep you from the finish line. Death is not your finish line. You are to run the Christian race until your dying breath. But may I say this, there are people who have lived longer than they've run, and they quit the race before they died. You see, the devil will do anything he can to sidetrack you and get you off from serving God all the way to the end of the race. Let me say this again. You don't have to come in first place. God wants you to finish.
Amen.
We live in a competitive society. We want to compete about everything. Can I tell you something? God's not interested in your proudful and prideful competition. God just wants you to finish the race. That's why it says in the book of Philippians, I have run my race. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith.
That's good.
I want to give you five things, according to the scripture here, that'll help you keep moving forward in your race. Then when I'm done, I got a surprise. I think you're going to like the surprise. No, I'm not paying for lunch. I already saw where some of your eyeballs were going, amen? Mm-mm, I've seen the way some of you eat. I can't afford that, Brother Joe. Number one, the Bible says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, we're supposed to be moving on in our race of life. Now, listen to this. If we're moving on in the race of life, stand up here, ungodly man. And all of a sudden, I'm moving in my race, and an ungodly man joins me. The Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly.
That's right. Yep.
I'm not supposed to be getting my advice from him as we travel through this race together. I'm not supposed to be asking his advice on what we're to do next. See, God says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, some of you aren't going to take this real well. Secular education is ungodly counsel.
Yes, sir.
Lost people that hate God educating our young people or our old people are getting your counsel from ungodly people.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
The news media is ungodly counsel.
Yes, sir. Amen. And I love everybody here, but those of you that are older than I, listen to me. There was a day when the news media was trustworthy. You can't trust anything they say.
Amen.
They are not trustworthy. Fox News is more trustworthy, but about 2/3 of what they say is as much of a lie as ABC, NBC, CNN, and everything else.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
The news media is ungodly counsel. Those who preach wrong doctrine religiously is ungodly counsel.
And everybody listen to me. You better be careful where you go to church on vacation.
Yes, sir.
Some of you would get mad at me if I brought the pastor of that church here to preach, but you'll go there on vacation and it's okay.
Amen.
You'll go to a church that's not right on vacation
and it's all right because that's where everybody else goes. Well, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that's true. I don't care if your family goes there. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I won't go to churches where some of my family goes.
Yes.
Say why? It's not right doctrinally.
Amen.
And I'm not going.
You
well, you might offend somebody. I'd rather offend my family than offend God. Bitter Christians are ungodly. Be careful hanging around people that are bitter Christians. Some of the nastiest people in the world are saved people that are bitter.
Yes, sir.
They got a sour attitude. Oh, you can't believe what the preacher... He just wants everybody to do what he says because he thinks he's something. He thinks he's got... Those are the kind of people to stay away from.
Yes, sir. That's right.
No nail prints. I'm not God. Don't worry. I would make a pretty bad God.
Though we would clean up America pretty fast. Hollywood is ungodly counsel.
That's right.
The fashion industry is ungodly counsel. Look at what the world calls fashion today. Ridiculous.
Yes, sir.
Good night. Used to be you get a hole in a pair of jeans, you threw them away. Now they shred them up with razor blades and sell them for $150 a pair. Good night, man. I lost a lot of money as a kid, let me tell you. I could have made money hand over fist with everything we threw out. The entertainment industry is ungodly counsel.
Sure.
Now, listen to me very carefully. God says don't walk with them. Did you know those things will slow you down or stop you in your race of life? I've watched many people go into public education and quit running the Christian life. They start doubting God. They think they're more intelligent than God.
Well, can I tell you something? God's got more brains in a booger than you got in your whole body.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
You say, does God have boogers? I don't know, but we do, and we were made in his likeness. Say, I don't think you ought to say that. Okay, don't say it, but I just did. We don't need to walk with the ungodly because they will keep you from finishing your race. I believe every Christian young person ought to spend at least 1 year in Bible college before they get into their career life. You need to be founded securely in what you believe before you get taught by people that hate God and hate what you believe. And you can disagree with me all you want, but I've educated an awful lot of young people.
Amen.
I've been through an awful lot of life.
Yes, sir.
And I could help you if you listen to me.
That's right.
God says don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful where you get your advice. I think in the Sunday school lessons today, we were talking about Rehoboam. Rehoboam got his counsel from the wrong people, and look what happened.
And when you ask advice of somebody that's your age or just a little older, and I mean within just a few years, you're probably fixing to mess up royally. Probably fixing to mess up royally.
Yes, sir.
Because they don't have any more sense than you have.
That's right.
Number two, I got to hurry. The Bible says don't stand in the way of sinners.
Did you know if you're standing, you're not moving? See, what happens is you start walking in the way of sin, in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you stop and you stand. Well, I need to take a break. Keep moving. Well, I'm tired. Keep moving.
Amen.
You don't have to move fast, but keep it moving.
Standing means you have stopped moving. And stopping moving means you're not prospering. Standing means resting or taking a break. You see, the way is the word journey. Standing in the way of the sinner.
What happens is you start slowing down, then you stop, and you're in the pathway of the sinners. Huh. You're an unmoving target. When I go deer hunting, especially with my bow. Because in bow hunting, there's a lot of motion. And you got to know when to draw your bow without being seen. You got to be able to get that deer to stop. And I learned a long time ago in deer hunting, deer are curious. They're kind of funny animals. And you can get them to stop. You just got to make a certain noise, and they'll stop and pick their head up. So you wait for them to get where you want them, and all you got to do is go, eh, real loud. And they'll, well, when they do that, you're already at full draw, and you have dinner.
Amen.
Every once in a while, you get an old rutting buck, and he's got his nose on the ground. He's not listening. Eh, eh. He'll keep on going. I've even, yeah, and they'll stop and look. And that little hesitation, that stop,
is enough to bring them down. When you stop, the devil goes, yeah. Guess what? That old arrow's right through you. And you're going to go, ooh, what was that? And that's exactly what happens. When you stop on that journey, you become a sitting target. By the way, standing in the way of sinners, that's not just lost people, that's saved sinners too. It doesn't say lost sinners, it says sinners. Don't stand in the way of saved sinners or lost sinners. Don't hang around with the stopped crowd.
Worst thing you can do is just go somewhere and hang around. Brother Joe, worst thing you do is teach kids just to hang around. Go to the mall and find everybody hanging around. That's the crowd that gets in trouble. That's the crowd that does things they shouldn't do. Well, I'm just going to go to the mall and hang around. Hang out. Uh-uh.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Keep on moving. Keep on racing.
Yes, sir.
Good night. I might not be able to run, but I can walk.
Amen.
I'm not just going to stand there and take a breather. I'm going to keep on going.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make sure I'm making progress. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Don't stop moving. Don't stop. Just keep on going.
Amen.
In your race for life, keep on going. So, well, I can't do what I used to do, but you can do something.
Yes.
You can walk with God. My grandma, 99 years old, she said, I don't know why God still has me here. I said, I do, so you'll pray for me. Her pastor got up at her funeral and said, she said for years, I don't know why God still has me here.
I got up and said, Pastor, I can tell you why. Because I prayed for God to keep her alive, keep praying for me because I needed her. Old black lady was in a nursing home in South Carolina, Miss Wilson. She was in her upper 90s. Miss Wilson was one of the sweetest Christian ladies you've ever met in your whole life. Matter of fact, the church that was shot up down in Charleston, South Carolina was her church. She was in the senior choir for 67 years in that church. The senior choir, not the kids' choirs. Miss Wilson, she used to... Now, folks, this is not racial, and if you think so, you don't know anything. But down south, she used to call me her white preacher. I'd be at the nursing home every couple weeks, and I'd go down, and she'd want to talk to her white preacher.
And I'd say, Miss Wilson, I need you to pray for me. Oh, that's my daily occupation. Miss Kim, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, that sweet old precious saint. She used to say, my daily occupation is to pray. She said, I pray for my white preacher. I've got it on tape. What a sweetheart. You ought to sing. That woman could sing. When she used to sing, what a day that will be. And she'd, oh my soul. You'd go in to cheer her up and come out on topside because she cheered you up. You say, what was it? She was still moving. She was still going. I remember the day I walked in and
we told her that we were leaving to go to Indiana to work for Brother Hiles, and she was happy and sad, tears rolling down her face of joy and sadness. She said, I'll be praying for you. A couple years later, I got word that she had gone to heaven. Well, guess what? She's still praying for me, but she's seeing Jesus when she prays for me now. Thank God for Miss Wilson. If you can't walk, you can do something.
Number three, I got to hurry. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Notice how that each stage of this, the race slows down. You go from running to walking, and from walking to standing, and from standing to sitting. Bible says, sit not in the seat of the scornful.
Don't sit and listen to negative, critical, gossiping people. Scornful people are people that question everything. They question authority. Well, they don't have the right to say that. Those are scornful people.
Can I tell you something? You can't sit if you're moving. You can't sit if you're moving. Keep on moving. Don't stop and sit and listen to those that have stopped who are critical of those that are still moving.
Amen. When you sit in the seat of the scornful, you're criticizing everybody that's moving.
That's right.
I can't believe those people shouted amen like that.
Amen.
I'd rather have one loud mouth amen. Hit it, Brother Scott.
Amen.
There you go. I would. Than 1,000 deadbeats sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Right.
When Brother Hiles was alive, of course, our auditorium's at 7,000 people, two balconies. And you get some wound up college guys every once in a while. You know, these college freshmen think they're the next Billy Sunday. Brother Hiles get up and he'd be preaching, and you get one of these that's really loud.
And when you can hear the guy saying amen over the guy with the microphone and 7,000 people, you got a guy that's pretty excited. Brother Hiles would get up and say, I know, it's okay. Let him holler. He'd say, some of you are going to try to calm him down. Son, don't let him do it.
That's right.
Then he'd say, some of you used to be that way. What happened? Yeah, buddy. Now, may I say something? Quit criticizing everybody that's moving.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, I laugh at preachers who criticize churches that have people saved out soul winning.
They want to criticize. Well, you can't win somebody to the Lord in one conversation at a door. Say, what is that? That's somebody sitting in the seat of the scornful criticizing those that are having it happen. Well, you just can't have visitors all the time. Well, that's somebody criticizing somebody who's doing the work. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Good night. That's why their people look like they were weaned off on dill pickle juice. They could suck Coke out of the bottom of the bottle without a straw.
Amen.
Good night. The criticizers of the people that are doing something.
Can I tell you something? Those idiots that are talking about President Trump don't know their head from a hole in the ground. This immigration thing. Did you know that President Obama was guilty of detaining more than 2.5 times as many children? The way that things have been done, that was what the law was.
Amen.
By the way, he's the one that paid for them to get all the kids there. We sent planes and trains to Guatemala, Venezuela, and all over Central America to fill them up on taxpayer dollars to bring the kids here. Go do your research. I knew they weren't going to like it when he said, I'll sign an executive order temporarily to quit this. I knew what was going to happen. I told my wife and a couple other people, I said, do you know what that means? They're going to be in jail with their parents.
Amen.
That's not going to go over well. Guess what? Within 12 hours, everybody was sucking air again. He fixed the problem. Armchair quarterbacks don't need us as an audience. People sitting on their blessed assurance doing nothing don't need to talk to us. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm about to have a spell here. Quit paying attention to what everyone says on social media. Just start running your race.
Amen.
Well, did you know, preacher, on Facebook they're saying this about us? No, I don't have Facebook. I got my face in the book.
Amen.
I don't give a flip what people say. I've had people saying things about me that have been true for an awful long time. And if I keep living right and preaching like I do, they're going to say it again.
Yes, sir.
Quit trying to gauge your speed. Just keep going forward. You know, I'm not worried about how fast I run. I just want to keep on going forward.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how fast you get there. Just keep moving forward. Quit listening to those sitting on the sidelines.
Amen.
Just keep moving. Anybody ever play sports? Do you ever try to listen to everybody in the bleachers while you're playing? If you did everything that everybody was screaming and hollering at you for, you couldn't do anything.
Right.
It's amazing how many people from the bleachers want to coach everybody.
That's right.
It's amazing from the bleachers how many people saw the balls and strikes or the foul better than the referee. I have learned a long time ago, somebody standing 2 feet away has a better view of it than somebody sitting 50 or 60 or 90 feet away.
That's right.
I'm convinced of that. Do I think they're perfect? No, but they're going to get it right more times than not.
Amen.
And by the way, what does it really matter? It's a game.
Amen.
It's nobody's life at stake. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Was preaching on my sin too. Number four, delight in the law of the Lord. Can I tell you something? Learn to enjoy that book right there.
Yep.
That old black book is one of the most enjoyable books there are. Too many people don't enjoy the Bible. Can I tell you why? Get ready for this. Because it convicts them.
Amen.
I think we ought to read our Bible. I think we ought to memorize our Bible. If you just memorized one verse a week, you could memorize 50 verses a year.
Amen.
If you memorized 50 verses a year for 50 years, do the math. That's 2,500 verses. You'd have a third of the Bible memorized at one verse a week. Everybody doing okay? I think we ought to be around the Bible when it's being preached.
Amen.
Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be there to hear the Word of God preached. It'll change your life. Live the Bible. You know, just knowing the Bible won't change your life. Living the Bible will change your life. Don't get mad at me. I don't care how much of that book you know. How much are you living? It's not what you know that'll change your life. It's what you're doing that will change your life. I think we ought to share the Word of God. I think we ought to teach it to other people. That's what soul winning's about. That's what Sunday school's all about. That's what good godly friendships and sharing truths with one another is all about.
Yes.
Brother Mike, yesterday morning and I, early morning, were texting back and forth and sharing truth back and forth a little bit. That's enough to make you want to shout.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me want to criticize those that are sitting on sideline, Brother Mike. Made me want to go out and tell somebody. God gave you a success manual. I know people that know the manual, but won't succeed because they don't do anything with it. Church is not to be a college seminary classroom. It's supposed to be boot camp where you get your orders and go out and start marching. It's basic training. Did you know in basic training, they don't have PowerPoint presentations? They don't have follow the bouncing ball so you can learn the lift, 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 right. It doesn't take a bouncing ball to figure that one out. And if you step out of line, they don't say, oh, it's all right. No, it's get down and give me push-ups. It's get down in the dirt and do something nasty. Say, what is it? It's basic training, not basic teaching. You're not going to look at a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old and teach them how to go to the bathroom and say, okay, this is what the goal is, and this is how you do it. Now, do it on your own. No, it's called potty training, not potty teaching. I know people that have more sense with their animals than they do their own children. Yeah. They can teach a dog to go outside and use the bathroom, but they can't teach the kids how to live right. Everybody doing all right? You hurt Rover on the side of the road, and you go to jail for it. But we can murder babies in the womb by the millions, and it's all right. You see, God gave us a success manual. But knowing it doesn't do anything. Doing it does. God says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only.
Yes, sir.
Number 5, we're to meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Brother Mike, it doesn't say meditate on your past. It says meditate on the law. Correct. Too many people are bothered by their past. Can I tell you why? Because you think about it too much.
Right.
It doesn't say meditate on your failures. There's not a person in this room that hadn't failed.
Right.
Failure is a step of success. Quit meditating on what didn't work. You know, the more times you think about what didn't work, the more times you're not going to do something.
That's right.
Quit meditating on what was. Oh, my soul, I was dealing with this yesterday with a pastor. You cannot live life looking in the rearview mirror.
Yes, sir, that's right.
If you drive and the only thing you look at is your rearview mirror, eventually you're going to crash. You are going to crash in your life is all you do is hoping for what was. We're to meditate on the Bible. Folks, can I tell you something? That's why you're to read it. That's why you're to think about it. That's why you're to memorize it so that you can meditate on it. Meditate on the Word of God. The word meditate means to go all the way through something. It means to go all the way through. I've used this before.
Meditation is, okay, what am I holding in my hand right now?
Pen.
It's a pen. Now, you just see a writing instrument. I see machines that are machining the metal that made that. I see people that have to deliver those in trucks, work in factories, and wrap them up in the shrink wrap that you can't get undone. I see places where they're mixing the chemicals for the ink. I see people that are salespeople, sales reps that are trying to sell these. There are clerks at stores. There are people that put these on the shelves at the stores. That's called meditation. It's just a ballpoint pen, preacher. No, there's some thought that goes into that. You see, meditation is taking a truth and thinking through it the whole way. That's what meditation is. It's not levitation where you sit there and float off the floor, all right? Meditate on what God is doing. Hey, when's the last time you thought about everything God's doing around Grace Baptist Church? Good night. People getting saved, visitors. We got visitors today. We had 3 baptized last week. God's doing some great things around here. We're building a building, kind of. We're trying. We're helping churches around the country and around the world. Hey, we're doing something. Think about it. Take time
thinking and spending time thinking about God and how good God has been in your life. I love hearing Brother Mike in Sunday school. About once every
2 or 3 weeks, he'll say, at 33 years old, I was a drunk, put a can of beer down, and got saved. Man, I love hearing that. You say, what is that? He's meditating on where he came from.
He's not letting it bother him. He's not letting it get the best of him. He's moving forward. Now, I told you I had a surprise when I got done with the sermon. The Bible says there are four results that happen if you live with those five areas of prosperity. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit and see the scornful. Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate day and night in that law. God says there's four results that will happen because of this. You ready? Number one, you'll be planted by the river of water. God says, if you'll do these things, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Brother Stoltz, I'm about to shout. It doesn't say you're going to be a potted plant put wherever you want to put it. Potted plants, you move around. You don't move a tree. You put that tree in by the river, and that's got to have deep roots so that it doesn't get washed away. God says, if you'll do those five things, I'll plant you by a river so that when the floods come, you can withstand it. When the tough times come and the trash of life flows down with it, you'll still be standing strong. God says, be like a tree, not like a vine. Not like a flower, not like a hedge, not like a shrub. God says, I'll plant you like a tree by the rivers of water. Wow. That means don't move. Don't change. We got too many people church hopping these days. Run from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. They church shop. Can I tell you something? Find out what the doctrine is. Get in and get with it and just don't worry about it. Number two, the Bible says that you'll be productive. Be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That's productivity. God says if you'll do those five things, he'll help you to produce. He didn't say he'll help you get rich. He said he'll help you produce fruit. God will help you bring forth fruit in his season.
It doesn't happen all the time. Did you know every time you go out soul winning, you're not going to have somebody saved probably? But we have people saved every week because somebody's going out all the time. It's not our job to get them saved. It's our job to get them the gospel. I'll measure our success. How many did you have saved last week? How many did you have saved last week? How many did you have saved last week? That's not success. Did you get the gospel out last week? That's success.
So you'll be planted by a river. You'll produce. You'll be productive. Next, you'll be perennial. It says his leaf also shall not wither. That means you're going to keep on going.
You're going to be able to perpetuate every season. His leaf also shall not wither. It's not going to wither away and die.
It's an evergreen. Amen. That means you're faithful. That means you're in place. Lastly, it says, whatsoever you do shall prosper.
That means you're going to continue on. Brother Josh, you're 18? 17. Gosh, just a little baby. I am 33 years older than you are. If I live to be 80, in 30 years, you still got a lot of life ahead of you compared to what I have. But whatever I've taught you could live on to the next generation. Whatever you've gotten because of the ministries of this church can perpetuate for generations to come. I'm going to risk
being criticized on this. I'm not trying to build a memorial. I'm trying to build lives. Memorials you stop and look at. We don't need a memorial. We need to keep the commission. Too many people are trying to build their own statue. This is what I want to be remembered for. Boy, aren't you arrogant. I think George Washington would be embarrassed at how much his name and face have been used because he didn't do it for self-recognition. He wasn't trying to build a memorial. By the way, your prosperity will bleed into all areas of life. He shall be like a tree planted by the river's water, bringing forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. Watch this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Guess what? I believe that means it worked, Brother Mike. I believe that you could work so hard that your work would continue on whether you're there or not. A man named Stuart McMillan will be here when we have our opening service. He's given this church $165,000. I worked for him for 3 years while I was in Bible college. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I haven't worked for him in 28 years. I've put 1 hour in for him in 28 years. But God's paid it back with interest. Say why? Because when I was there, I worked and I worked hard. I'll guarantee I wasn't his best employee. But I will tell you this. He could ask me to do anything and I'd tried it. You've never experienced life till you got to go shovel the chip trailer in 105 degree weather. You really don't know what it's like till it's about 125, 130 in the shop, and your job for 8 hours is to clean two machines out with slimy, nasty coolant. The vegetable fat coolant that has rotted and full of bacteria that starts blue and turns green. You've never smelled anything so foul. And your job is to get in there and suck all that out and crawl inside the machine and get it all cleaned out. It's so bad that you got to run fresh water in it with a bacteria killer for a while and then suck that out and then put the new coolant in. And you've been crawling in all the old stuff. Pulling the conveyors out and getting in and scraping all the stuff out. Oh man, I've done that many a time. You smell like you've been rolling in the manure pile. And then somebody threw dead animals on top of you. That's about what it's like. My boss said, "You never complain about it." I said, "Why? I'm getting paid to do it. Let's do it." Yeah. Wasn't my favorite job. I didn't walk in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a little before 4, and clock in and say, "Oh, goody, it's 125 degrees in the shop. I get to suck sumps on machines tonight and take all this nasty cooling out. Goody." No. But I did, yeah. At that time, it was less than $5 an hour. Huh. That means at work. That means with your family. Whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. You'll be able to continue on with your family. That means with your finances. You'll build your finances prosperously to where they will help you continue on, and you're not going to be behind the eight ball all the time. There's only two ways to fix your income. Bring more in or quit spending so much. Amen. Finances are real easy. Behind the eight ball, quit spending. Or get another job. That's the only two ways to fix it. You either increase the income or decrease the outgo. Amen. I gotta quit. I don't know about you, but I want to finish the race. And I want to not just finish, I want to finish right. I was talking to a preacher that's very tired this week. I tried to encourage him. He's several years older than I. And he said, "Brother Bush," he said, "I just want to finish the race. But I want to finish right." I'll be honest with you. He's slowing down. I said, "Then you got to keep moving." He said, "It's not as easy." I said, "God didn't say it was going to be easy, but you got to keep moving."
talked to another preacher yesterday, a man younger than I trained him in college. He said, Brother Bush, he said, Brother Heil said, man, your age isn't supposed to be doing all you're doing. I said, shh, don't tell him. He said, why do you think I'm calling you? He said, not many men your age still willing to conquer, still willing to get out there and push themselves. I said, it's all I know, man. He said, I know, that's why I called you. God doesn't want me just to finish. I don't know about you,
Brother Stoltz. I want to finish just in spite of old Smutty Face. He has tried everything he can to slow me down, and Brother Larry, I'm not going to let him stop me. He might get a few shots in, and I might have to slow down a little bit, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stand and walk with the ungodly and get their advice. I'm not going to stand with the sinners of the world. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to keep on moving. Yes, just decided I'm going to keep on trucking to the very last truck.
Amen.
I'm not going to retire. I'm going to retread. I don't plan on retiring. I'm going to preach as long as I can preach. I may not be able to pastor all the way to the end, but bless God, if you got to roll me in a stupid wheelchair and get up and preach once every couple months, I'm going to preach.
Amen.
I'm going to teach a Sunday school class. I'll do something.
Can I tell you something? Somebody might have to push my wheelchair and go bring doorbells and bring people out to me, but I want to keep on going soul winning.
Amen.
You might have to push me up and down the hall at the nursing home, but I'm going to be winning people to Jesus. Let's not finish without finishing. Let's not die before we finish.
Amen.
Let's keep running all the way to the finish. That's what prospering God's way is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a preacher somewhere down inside that sermon. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands.